Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' words to his disciples. And seeing the mountains, he went up on the mount. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And verse 43, chapter 5. "You've heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And over to Brian.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right? I've got a problem with my hearing, so if I go low, just do that, okay? It's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you once more. This is our 12th consecutive year at the Bridge. We were here in early 20 and then the COVID, but then we came late 21. So we've never had a break. And thank you so much to Tony and the Bridge for the continual support of Open Doors and the Suffering Church. Now, you probably all know there's a terrible, terrible situation going on in Ukraine at the moment. Actually, Ukraine was one of the first countries we went to when Brother Andrew started smuggling Bibles there in the mid-50s. The problem is not Bibles anymore. They can have as many Bibles. They have freedom of worship, so we don't operate there anymore, although that might change now. But please, please continue to pray for the Ukraine. I always pray, "Lord, confound the men of violence," and you know who I'm talking about, "bring their plans to nothing. May they all turn to dust." But actually, God uses our weaknesses for his possibilities. I don't know if you know about Heart newspaper. It's a Christian newspaper. Well, the headline, the last publication was, "There are no atheists in Ukraine now." Amen? The churches there are full. The ones that haven't been bombed, that is. But Christianity, I believe, is going to explode in the Ukraine. But please continue to pray. Last time I was here, I spoke about Afghanistan. And it's funny how that's gone out of the news. Hardly hear about it. But the situation has actually got worse. The Taliban have taken total control. They've sworn to kill all the Christians because they find that an affront. They call it apostasy. Christians have either fled or gone into hiding. If the Taliban find them, they will kill them. They'll kill the men, that is. What they do to the women is perhaps even worse. I'll leave that to your imagination. So please, please continue to pray for Afghanistan. But actually, I'm here to talk about another country, a country maybe that you don't consider as a problem, a country that is under the radar. Can we have the first film, please. Can we have the lights out, if that's all right? It's very kind of grainy, the film.
When I became a Christian, my feelings turned against me. I no longer belong. But I continue to worship Jesus. And many others believe. But they always found out when they showed us no mercy. You get the following Jesus, they said. I never thought they would take my husband and the father of my children. God's ways are not our ways. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. We are hard pressed on every side, but not cursed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
Thank you. I'm sorry about the quality, but I hope you got the gist of it. One of the many thousands of persecuted Christians in India mainly occurs out in the villages, out in the countryside. The towns mainly have as not yet, the major towns, have as not yet been affected. Certainly not like that. But why India, you may ask? Surely there's far worse places. It's the world's largest democracy, isn't it? Surely Christians aren't persecuted much there. Well, actually, the persecution in the last few years has dramatically increased. In our World Watch List, which Open Doors produces every year, we have 50 countries where persecution is the worst. India is now in the top 10. It's a sad, sad reflection. The world's largest democracy. Now, this persecution started in about 2008 in a state called Orissa in the north of India. Radical Hindu priests incited the population to attack the Christians, to get rid of them. Churches were attacked and burnt, whole villages burnt, many, many thousands fled or were killed. Many never came back. Now the problem is left, has gotten far, far worse. The persecution has literally spread to nearly every state in India. Often, the police are involved in the attacks. Because since 2014, a radical Hindu party called the BJP has taken control in India. And they have sworn to get rid of every religion other than Hinduism. Get rid of all the Muslims and all the Christians. I don't know how they're going to do that. There's 250 million plus Muslims and 60,000 plus Christians. One leader, his name is Rajeshwar Singh, has stated in Parliament that Christians and Muslims will be wiped out. A view, by the way, shared by many of his colleagues. He's never been sanctioned or never been told to tone it down. And the Prime Minister Modi, he just pretends, he's aloof from all of this. Nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him because he's behind it all. Now, these attacks, as I say, have spread to over 25 states severely, but all of India is affected in some way. Churches, whole individuals, pastors, beaten and killed. Converts forced to recant under threat of death. And sometimes, in order to prove their conversion back to Hinduism is genuine, they are forced to drink cow's urine. The cow, by the way, is sacred. During the height of the COVID, many Christians were denied any kind of aid unless they converted back to Hinduism. You see, most of the Christians in India today, praise the Lord, are ex-Hindus. They've come out of Hinduism and accept Jesus as Lord. And this is what incenses the Hindus, especially the militants. Now, the founding fathers of India, you've probably heard of them, Gandhi and Nehru, they declare that all people would be equal in the new India. Everyone would be free to worship as they pleased. This is now not the case. 12 states have actually passed anti-conversion laws, which are being used to falsely accuse Christians of fraudulently converting Hindus to Christianity. In other words, bribing them. And the converts themselves are accused of accepting these bribes and often beaten or even killed, as was Kirti's husband. That's nothing unusual. It's happening in hundreds, perhaps thousands of villages across India. And of course, we help as much as we can, but there's only so much we can do. And what's the West's response to all of this? Nothing. It's not even reported in the press, except maybe in Christian papers like Heart. I do encourage you to get that, especially your church. You might be able to get it free, actually. If you don't believe any of this, just Google violence against Christians in India, and you'll be shocked at what comes up. Shocked. It's not discussed in our parliament. And I love Boris, by the way, just like Tony. I'll always bless Boris for one thing he did for us. And I think you know what that is, Tony. He got extricated us from something which I believe the Lord will bless in the future. But Boris was hobnobbing with Modi just 2 weeks ago at the G7. Patting him on the back, as no doubt all the other G7 leaders were doing. Why? Well, quite simply, we need, I suppose, India as a trading partner, especially us in this country at the moment. But the other countries want them as well. So we don't want to do anything to upset them. So consequently, nothing is said about this horror that is going on at the moment. But hey, this is nothing new. We've carried out a policy of appeasement for Saudi Arabia for years. A country that goes around chopping people's heads off, chopping people's hands off, public executions, totally ignored, except quite a few years ago, they chopped off a princess's head and her boyfriend together in the public square. Now, this was too much for our newspapers, so it was splashed on the front page news, death of a princess. I don't know if you ever saw that documentary. Of course, the Saudis were incensed and threatened our oil. It's an oily business, isn't it? But what happened? A couple of members of our government, parliament, went over there to Saudi, cap in hand, bowing and scraping, apologising for our naughty newspapers for printing such stuff. It's nauseating. But now, the good news. Despite all of this, the church is growing in India. Actually, the church is growing in all these countries where it's persecuted the most, China, Iran, and so on. It's exploding in India. Maya and I were in India some time ago, and it was just before the persecution started up. We went to one church in Bangalore, three services a day in different languages, Telugu, Hindi, and Tamil. The place is packed out. Services gone all day. I went into one room, there's people praying. I said to the pastor, when does the prayer meeting end? He said, what do you mean, when does it end? I said, when does it come to an end? He said, it never comes to an end. These people are replaced by other people, they're replaced by other. Goes on all day, all night, all week, all the year, never stops. Can you imagine if we prayed like that in this country? We were meeting Christians everywhere, taxi drivers. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Taxi drivers. Went to, in Bangalore, walking down the street vendors with their wares, chicken curry, papadams, John 360. I'm not kidding, ask my wife. I'm sitting on a train station at a place called Coimbatore. We just come from Goa, I think. I'm just sitting there waiting for our train. Oh, by the way, if you ever go on Indian trains, get life insurance, please. But anyway, I'm sitting there on the train station. And this guy just walks up to me and says, are you a Christian? I said, taken aback. Can you imagine that happening over here? Are you a Christian? I said, yes. Well, let's pray then. So I stood up and I prayed with this guy. For about 10 minutes, I didn't even know who he was, Apparently, it turned out he was a pastor. The devil has far more success in the so-called enlightened West, where all sorts of fake gospels are preached. The prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, anything goes gospel, name it and claim it gospel. What's in it for me? Gospel. And now please be aware, the politically correct gospel which churches are accepting and implementing. It's happened across the United States because they don't want to lose their tax status. I just want to quote, I think it's 2 Timothy 4. A time is coming when people will reject sound doctrine. Instead, they will gather together around them a great many teachers, preachers, who will tell them exactly what their itching ears want to hear. Please don't be one of them. But that lady in the film, Kirsty, she knows. It's a suffering for Jesus gospel. She knows the truth. Jesus warned us, you will be persecuted because of me, Matthew 10. And in 5 he says, when people persecute you, insult you, rejoice. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Rejoice, you know, I've been persecuted. Because great is your reward in, let's hear it, in, not on earth. So please don't be deceived by that prosperity nonsense. Now, every true believer will suffer persecution of some sort. If you don't believe this, I dare you, go out there tomorrow, whenever, start talking about Jesus and see what happens. People will become verbally violent. But I want to give a warning here. Now, who am I to give a warning? But I feel this is important. A time is coming, and I believe it's already here to some extent. I think Tony referred to this. When Christians will be pressurized to accept this politically correct agenda. The woke brigade will tell us we have to accept gay marriage. I can't say it out loud because I want to protect Tony. We have to agree with we have to agree with their rights, and we have to agree with certain people getting married in the church. You're going to have to start doing these marriages, Tony. Of people who are not necessarily the same sex. And we must not preach any gospel that says different. Because if you preach a different gospel to what they want you to preach, it's hate speech. Did you know that? You can't even talk about Jesus anymore. It's hate speech. Okay, persecution, I believe, is coming. It's in a minor way now, but it will come. In the last few years, several pastors have been, street preachers have been arrested. I don't know if you realize that. And hauled off to court. Sometimes kept overnight in the police cells. Usually the case is thrown out of court because actually our laws allow us to preach. But that may change. So don't take it for granted. Now recently, I was out with a group preaching, witnessing on Highbury Corner, and we had one person standing up and sharing the gospel. And all of a sudden, two policemen arrived and said, you have to stop all this. I said, why? They said, because you're preaching hatred and racism. Hatred and racism. I said, really? I said, against who? Against the Irish. I said, really? I said, he said, yes. I said, okay. Nori, come over here. And she was going to come here today, by the way. I said, come over here. Tell this policeman where you're from. I'm Irish. I said, Ellen. And Ellen was actually a gypsy, a traveler. Come and tell this person where you're from. Actually, she didn't, but I said, and she is Irish also. So the policemen went away scratching their heads, you know. It's quite funny. I'm not saying that's persecution. But it could be a hint of things to come. And actually, terrible things are happening to individuals. I don't know if you heard a lady speaking at Hyde Park Corner, Speaker's Corner, about a year ago, 6 months ago. She was stabbed in the neck by a militant. She was actually a convert from Islam. And they couldn't stand that. So eventually one of these lunatics stabbed her in the neck. Thank God she has recovered. And guess what? She's back at Hyde Park Corner. You can't put a good Christian down. That's my kind of Christian. But do you know what? Prior to that incident, she was arrested twice by the police. Can you believe it? For hate speech. When the real hatred coming from groups who are never even questioned about it. There used to be a guy called Abu Hamza, preached outside Finsbury Mosque. In fact, they blocked the road off so he could preach, with all his followers sitting in the road. And the bile that was coming out of his mouth was unbelievable. Friend of mine in a wheelchair, friend that I traveled to Israel with, she wheeled up and joined them all the Muslims sitting down. And she took out her Bible, started reading and started praying. Do you know what happened? The police came and threatened to arrest her. What on earth is going on? What on earth is going on? But in the meantime, we have to stand alongside our suffering brothers and sisters in countries where the situation is far, far worse than anything we have to put up with. They are on the front line right now. It might be us one day. God forbid, I hope it's not, but it could be. But as well as praying for our brothers and sisters, we have to pray for their persecutors. That's what we just read, didn't we? Pray for those that abuse you. We have to pray that God will change their hearts. Pray the Lord will touch Putin's heart. Yes, pray against the violence and pray for our brothers and sisters, for their protection, but pray for their persecutors. But I think that the most important point I'm trying to make today, I think it's imperative. We never, ever forsake the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We never compromise with the world, never accept the woke agenda. Remember the words of Jesus? He says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in judgment, he will find two groups, a sheep and the goats. The goats thought they were believers. They thought they were Christians. Jesus rejected them. Why? Because they had no concern whatsoever for their suffering brothers and sisters. I want to show this in action in the Bible. In the seven churches Jesus speaks to, the last one is the church of Laodicea. The one that Jesus says, I will spew you out of my mouth. They sicken him. Why? Because they were a rich church, but Jesus says, you're wretched and poor. But they were rich. They were dealing with all the pagans around them, probably going to their festivals, probably lighting incense candles to their gods, and then going back to church on Sundays to do their own service. Never persecuted. Why? What's to persecute? They're the same as everybody else around them. Down the road, as the crow flies, is the church of Smyrna, the church that Jesus loves. He promises them the crown of life. It's a suffering church. The church in Laodicea couldn't give tuppence about them, even though they were being severely persecuted. Their leader, Polycarp, was one of the first martyrs outside the New Testament. The Roman governor actually liked him. He said, Polycarp, I don't want to kill you. Just say I reject this Jesus guy. Polycarp said, are you mad? Why on earth would I do that? And he went to his death, as did 20 members of his congregation. The true church and the false church. The church of Jesus Christ and the worldly church. I believe there will be two churches on earth when the Lord returns. The church of Laodicea and the church of Smyrna. You have to decide which one you want to belong to. Every individual will have to decide that. And the deception will sometimes be very, very subtle. But beware, beware. Never compromise the word of God. And never compromise your faith in Jesus. Okay, thank you so much for listening. And by the way, just quickly, do collect a magazine, and they're free, but or sign up to get them. And this month, we've got a lot about India, about the new laws being passed, and testimonies and other stories about how Indians are suffering in India today. I'd like to end with a short film. I haven't told you about anything we do, but this film will tell you. So I hope it's okay. God bless you.
Homelands, however they need it. We do this in three main ways. We focus on it is estimated that more than 100 million Christians are persecuted for their faith in more than 60 countries worldwide. We are Open Doors, and we invite you to join with us in serving the persecuted church. Our vision is to strengthen the church in the most difficult places. We long to see the gospel transform and restore nations. It has been our mission since we started in 1955 to work directly with persecuted believers in their homelands, however they need it. We do this in three main ways. We focus on Bible and gospel development, which involves Bible distribution, evangelism training, Christian literature distribution, teaching, and seminars. Open Doors also provides women and children advancement, which involves support for persecuted orphans, women's literacy training, microloans for Christian women, and job training. We also focus on Christian community restoration, which involves rebuilding churches and homes, social and economic support, and refugee support for persecuted Christians. God works in unexpected places, and we see that happening all around the world. Every year, we deliver over 2 million Bibles and Christian literature, serve over 200,000 Christians in need, train over 250,000 people, and share the stories of the persecuted church. Join us in serving our persecuted brothers and sisters worldwide.
Thank you for that. I hope you got the gist of that, if that's okay. I'd like to pray for our suffering brothers and sisters now, and of course for the Ukraine, if you will join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love to us, Lord. And yet we have horrible things happening in this world, Lord. Yes, Lord, we know that we live in a fallen world, and because of sin, these things occur. And they're under the control of the evil one. But Lord, you will have the final say. You have the victory. But in the interim, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. Yes, Lord, bring those people who are behind this. Bring all their plans to nothing, Lord, and bring peace to the Ukraine. And Lord, we thank you for the way the church is growing there. We pray for Afghanistan. Protect our brothers and sisters there, Lord. Protect them, Lord. And Lord, bring their oppressors to the light. Change their hearts. Only you can do it, Jesus. And yes, Lord, we pray for India. We pray for the thousands of Christians, especially out in the country, in the small villages. We pray for their protection. Keep them strong in the faith, Lord, despite everything. May they have the same spirit that only you can instill, that you gave to Polycarp. Yes, Father, we just thank you, and we humbly submit these prayers to you, Lord. Be glorified in those nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.